This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast. I am so happy to be here with you all. Today, we're going to be talking about self-acceptance. And yes, we can do that with ADHD. This is an episode as well that is going to cover things like negative self-talk and when you think that you or feel that you are not good enough, which is something that many of us with ADHD can relate to. Now, before we dive into this episode, I've got to tell you about something incredible. I have created a free ADHD course for you all. So if you remember recently, I ran a masterclass, ADHD masterclass, where we talked about what it means to live with ADHD, all of the ways or many of the ways that that can impact and affect us. We unpacked a lot of the language around ADHD and talked about, you know, what it means to have less serotonin, less dopamine, less norepinephrine, all of that. And in that class, I also went through a series of tools and how you can apply them to your life so that you can end some of your ADHD struggles and ultimately thrive. So I have broken that up into a free course. It is made up of 6 videos plus the welcome video, and I have created a workbook to go along with it. 100% free, 100% amazing. The feedback has been off the charts. So if you would like to access that ADHD course completely free, you can visit my website, zenajones.com. Remember, Zena is spelled with an X, X-E-N-A-J-O-N-E-S.com. It's all yours, my friend. And the other thing I want to say before we dive in is I just want to say a huge heartfelt thank you. I really hope you can feel, because this podcast has been doing incredibly well, and I have had so many people reach out to say that it's helping them and they really resonate with the content here and they're getting a lot of value from it. And that is because each and every one of you are helping to spread the word or are listening to these episodes, and more people are getting the support as a result. I know many of you have left a review or shared it with people who could really benefit, and I appreciate that hugely. So thank you so much, and I really appreciate all of you listening and sharing with other ADHDers, because that is what we want to do, is we want to help our ADHD community and all thrive together. All right, so let's talk about self-acceptance. Self-acceptance is the key to feeling better and creating a positive change in your life. Now, you may have some pushback on that, and don't worry, I am going to address many of the common objections and the kind of pushback that I hear when we start to talk about this. All right, and self-acceptance for us ADHDers can be a hard one, and this is no surprise, given that by age 10, a child with ADHD has already heard 20,000 more criticisms than their peers. There is research out there that has been done and studies that show a child with ADHD has heard 20,000 more criticisms than their peers by age 10. Isn't that heartbreaking? And I think for those of us who go undiagnosed for so long and without support, we can see how that's internalized. With or without the awareness that we have ADHD, we internalize so many of those negative messages, and we make them mean that we are bad, or we are wrong, or we are not good enough. So what that looks like is through our negative self-talk, we will often say things to ourselves like, yeah, you can't do that. You're late again? Huh, it's amazing anyone still invites you. You're stupid. You don't have what it takes to apply for that job because you're so all over the place. You're never going to figure this out. You might as well quit while you're ahead. And we just think it's normal to speak to ourselves like that. We're just relaying the truth. And yet, we are so mean to ourselves and still wonder why we can't achieve our goals or create long-lasting change. Now, my friends, hear me when I say, you cannot hate your way to happiness. Trust me, I've tried. I'll share a little bit of that story with you all today. You cannot starve yourself into a healthy body. Self-acceptance and self-compassion is the way. I'm going to start by sharing a story with you all. Now, I don't know who originally shared this. I have borrowed it from somewhere and I would like to give credit, and I'm sorry, I don't know where to give it. But I'm going to share a story with you all to really demonstrate the negative self-talk and how we can easily internalize this and just how powerful it is with negative self-talk and with the opposite, okay? So I want you to imagine a little kid comes to you and asks you to help teach them how to ride a bike without training wheels, okay? So you're going to teach this little kid how to ride a bike without the training wheels, and there are two possible scenarios here. So in the first scenario, you're super enthusiastic, you're excited. You say to the kid, yeah, I would love to help you learn how to do that. You're going to be really, really good at it. And you go along and you go to a big parking lot and you stay next to them, and maybe you hold the bike seat and you run alongside them until they start to feel confident that you can let go. And every time they fall off, you cheer them on, you tell them how impressed you are, that they just keep picking themselves up and going again. And every night you say the same thing. You say, hey, You're getting really good, and soon you're going to be able to do it really easy. Just keep going. I know it hasn't necessarily worked out yet, but you're doing really, really well. And you stay really enthusiastic and positive and committed to helping them and cheering them on and being really supportive. And maybe it takes a couple of nights, you know, maybe it takes 20 or 100, and you just keep showing up for that kid and you keep being really enthusiastic and positive and reinforcing it, and they learn to ride that bike without training wheels. Now, in the second scenario, when that kid asks you to ride the bike, you laugh. You, really? I think you're going to have a tough time learning how to ride without training wheels. Probably going to be a bit of a disaster. But you know what? I want to see this. So you go along to the parking lot and you stand on the side with your arms crossed, and you know, you're mocking them, and maybe, you know, they go for a bit of a ride and they fall off, and you, every time they fall off, you say something like, told you wouldn't be able to figure it out. Like, come on, this is getting ridiculous. It's taking forever. And then you smack them on the back of the head and say, come on, hurry up. I don't have all day. Hurry this along. This is a waste of my time. And then at night, when, you know, they're talking to you about it and saying this is really hard, you're like, yeah, well, you're not very good at it and you're not trying hard enough. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of negative reinforcement there. Which of those two kids do you think is going to learn how to ride that bike faster? And more importantly, which of them will enjoy riding a bike for the rest of their life? Now, the answer is pretty obvious, right? Like, it's the first one. But here's the interesting thing is most of us apply that second method to ourselves. We apply that second method to ourselves, especially with our ADHD. We compare ourselves to neurotypical people, and we think that we should be able to do things like they do them. Okay. It's like being a zebra and looking at a horse and thinking you should be a horse. No, you're a zebra, not a damn horse. Okay. So I really want you to keep that story in your mind because it is powerful. Method number two sucks and it doesn't work very well. Beating yourself up creates inconsistency. Beating yourself up creates going back to old habits. This was one of the first and probably one of the hardest lessons that I learned when I first experienced coaching back in about 2014 or 2015. So I myself was in a deep place of self-loathing. I had gone to the doctor to ask for weight loss pills, convinced that if I could finally lose this weight, I would just be happy. And thankfully, the doctor at the time, I was living in London at the time in the NHS health system, she was able to prescribe me life coaching sessions, which cost me nothing at that time. I was very, very fortunate. And I went along to coaching. And at that time, I hated my body and I really did hate myself. And I was convinced, as I said, if I could just lose the weight, I would finally be happy and life would be great. But after the coach asked me a series of questions, we were able to establish I'd lost the weight many times over, in fact. And even when I'd lost it, even at my lightest weight, I had never been happy. I'd always gone back to my old habits. I'd never stopped beating myself up. I'd never felt good enough. I had never felt any self-acceptance or approval. I had always continued to feel like I had something to prove. I was horrible to myself. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror, and I had no self-esteem, no confidence. Self-acceptance is foundational in creating self-worth, in creating self-esteem, and in creating self-confidence. And this is so much of the work that I do with my coaching clients. And I'm going to walk you through that process today. And if you want help applying this to your life, then you can come and coach with me. I want to start by saying you are enough. Exactly as you are today, right now. You are valuable. You are worthy. You are lovable. You don't earn it. You were born with it. Now, I hear all of the pushback and all the reasons why you're not, and we're going to get to that, okay? I want you to imagine a baby being born today. And if you have kids, I want you to imagine your own kids. If you don't, you know, nieces, nephews, if you're a person who loves babies, imagine the baby, okay? When that baby is born into the world, we don't separate them into piles. Oh, okay, this baby, yep, this one looks worthy. Let's put them in the worthy pile. Oh, yes, definitely good enough. Put them in the good enough pile. Oh, this one, no. Not good enough. Put them in the not good enough pile. We don't do that. Okay? Even when those babies, right? As I said, if you've got kids, imagine your kids, even when they annoy you, when you're looking after that child and you're sleep deprived and they're crying and you can't figure out why, you still love them. They don't have to do anything to be worthy. They just are. That little baby is you. That small child is you. So many of you are thinking, I'll be good enough when, fill in the blank. I'll be good enough when I lose the weight. I'll be good enough when I can get things done on time, or when I stop forgetting why I walked into a room, or when I stop being so scattered. I'll be good enough when I can finally create and stick to a routine. No. Whether you believe it or not, it is just a fact of the universe. Like the sun is the sun. You are worthy. You are good enough. You are valuable. You are enough. All right. Now, it does not matter what you've done as a result of your ADHD symptoms. You are still worthy, lovable, human, full stop. Okay, even when you interrupt someone, or you forget to call your friend for her birthday, or you struggle to concentrate and get frustrated and then take it out on your partner. Regardless of what other people say or do. Okay, even when your partner gets annoyed with you for being late again, or when your friend tells you that they wish they heard from you more often, they feel like you're so far away. Nothing can add to or take away from your value, from your worth, from the fact that you are good enough. Now, my clients usually say, yeah, but what about da 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 da? Or, yeah, that doesn't apply to me, right? Now, that might be you. You might be wanting to argue with me and give me all of the reasons why that's just not true, or you need to do certain things, and then you might arrive at that place, right? You want to tell me all the reasons why it doesn't apply to you, and you've got this huge list of evidence for all the reasons why this just isn't true for you, and all the things you need to change so that you can finally feel good enough and accept yourself as you are. Okay. How will you know when you have finally done enough to be good enough? What do you have to do to achieve good enough, to be worthy? What does somebody have to do to be good enough? I want you to think about these as I'm asking you these questions. And if you've got kids, what do your kids have to do to be good enough, to be worthy, to be valuable, to be lovable? What do they have to do? Because all of that same shit applies to you. Right? What are the requirements for entry? How will you know when you have arrived? When I ask clients these questions, I usually get a blank stare in some form of, well, I guess I've never thought about it before. Okay, well, if you've never thought about it, how are you going to know when you've arrived? How are you going to know when you're finally good enough? Are the hoops that you have to jump through the same hoops that everyone has to jump through? What do you need to do before you'll accept yourself and just believe that you are good enough? I actually encourage you to spend some time answering these questions. Either write them down, which is, you know, there's a lot of studies around the power of writing things down and making it real on paper. Or if you prefer verbal processing, then speak them out loud to a safe person. And think about how much of your brain space is taken up by beating yourself up and trying to force yourself to be better and do better. Because enough already, my friend. I also want to acknowledge that our human brains are designed to look for negative first. Okay? That's not just us neurodivergent humans, that is all humans. We all have a built-in negativity bias. And that is, we are literally wired that way as a form of safety to help us evolve. Our brain needs to be constantly looking for danger and what we need to look out for so that we can, you know, stay alive and evolve as a species. Brains are wired to do whatever it takes to keep us alive, okay? And sometimes our brain does go to some pretty nasty, sneaky tactics. But also a lot of this is learned behavior. A lot of this is, in some messed up way, thinking that if you're hard on yourself and if you force yourself to change, then you're going to feel good enough. But that isn't true. Okay, many of you are thinking, when I do better, then I will feel better. And I used to think that way too. Okay, when I'm finally able to exercise and eat healthy every single day consistently, then I'll feel better about myself. Okay, we have that backwards. We have to feel better about ourselves in order to create positive change and positive results. We cannot beat ourselves into feeling better. It does not work, my friend. Remember, what we think determines how we feel, and how we feel determines what we do. So back to that story that I shared about my self-loathing and thinking I needed to lose weight and constantly beating myself up. I wasn't able to create a positive relationship with my body. I wasn't able to look at myself in the mirror. I wasn't able to create a good relationship with my weight and with exercise until I changed the thoughts about myself. When I changed the thoughts about myself and felt better about myself, that was when everything finally changed. And it was from a place of self-acceptance. When I changed the way I was speaking to myself, that self-talk, I changed the way I felt about myself, and then my actions changed and became so much more consistent from a place of love and kindness and compassion, not from a place of beating myself up. Now, acceptance does not equal defeat or like resignation of any kind. Okay, I want to acknowledge that because I think some of you feel like that is what happens when we accept something. We're like, oh, okay, just give up, give in. That's it then. No, it's not saying, oh, well, I guess this is just, you know, what it's going to be like for the rest of my life. Like, I just can't do anything about it. No. No, self-acceptance is saying, this is me. I am neurodivergent. I have ADHD. That means I'm wired differently. And when I accept that, I can begin to work with myself rather than constantly fighting against myself. Right? Self-acceptance, including accepting your ADHD-related challenges, is the key to feeling better and creating positive change in your life. Okay? There are certain things that as adults with ADHD, we struggle with. Okay? Just like someone who is blind will have certain things that they struggle with. It does not make them less than. I'm going to say that again. There are certain things that those of us as adults with ADHD will struggle with. Things that we do struggle with. Just like someone who is blind has certain things that they struggle with. That does not make us less than. Now, I'm going to read out a list from Russell Barkley's book, Taking Charge of Adult ADHD, which is a great resource and very well researched. I definitely recommend it. So he talks about ADHD symptoms, and they typically fall into the following categories. So I'm just going to read this list out. Finding it difficult to tolerate and wait. Being impatient. Making decisions impulsively. Making off-the-cuff comments to others. Having difficulty stopping our activities or behavior when we think we should. We can't seem to wait for a payoff or to put off doing things that are rewarding now as to work for a later goal. We are likely to do things without considering the consequences of doing them. We are likely to skip out on work early if it's boring or do something more fun. We start a project or a task without reading or listening to the directions carefully. We often have a poor sense of time. We forget things that we're supposed to do. Sometimes we're unable to comprehend what we read as well as maybe we should be able to, and we have to reread material to try and get the meaning from it. We get frustrated or emotionally upset easily. We are poorly organized sometimes. My life and things seem in a constant disarray. We can have trouble planning and meeting goals we set for ourselves or carrying out the tasks even when we agree to do them for others. All of those things are symptoms of having ADHD. They do not mean you aren't a worthy human. Now, many of the things you may wish that you could change, or maybe the things that you dislike about yourself, are simply things that you were born with. Because those of us with ADHD, we are wired differently. Okay? Neurotypical people are the horse. If that's the case, we are the zebra. Let's enjoy being zebras and stop trying to be horses, okay? Now, when I look at that list that I just read out with you, I can't help but think about one of the boys that I co-parent. So I co-parent three boys with my partner, and one of them, the middle one, he has Williams syndrome. So he's 10 years old and he has Williams syndrome. And what that means is he is wired differently. Okay, he has a list of symptoms much longer than the one I just read out. And yet, he was born good enough. He will always be good enough. He has nothing to prove. He has no things that he must do to be lovable or worthy. He just is, regardless of his differences. So hear me when I say, we as ADHDers, we are not less than. How much time are you spending beating yourself up and wishing that you were different? And what have you been shaming yourself for? Make a list. Make a list of all of the ways that you thought you should be different, or that you think you should be different. Make a list of all of the ways you've been shaming yourself. Now, of course, I'm going to yell at my partner. I'm highly sensitive, I get frustrated easily, and I struggle, just like you, with regulating my emotions sometimes. Of course, I'm going to forget my friend's birthday. I have a poor working memory. I forget a lot of things. Of course, I'm going to be late to things. I have time blindness. I often underestimate how long something's going to take me. Of course, I'm time blind. Of course I do. Where can you release the shame for having a brain that's just wired a little different? Self-acceptance is the way that we change how we think and feel about ourselves. And acceptance is our job. Okay? My friends, I mentioned this, I believe, in the episode about when your friends and family don't get your ADHD, which was a while back now. And so often we're trying to get, you know, that external validation or that acceptance from, you know, the other people in our life so that we can then accept ourselves. We can tell ourselves it's okay. We want them to get it. We want them to be understanding. However, acceptance is your job, regardless of what they say, of what they do. This starts with you. Now, I coach on this a lot because it is big. Other people are going to have opinions. They are going to say things and do things that we don't like. They will make comments about our ADHD and our related behaviors. Hear me when I say, let them. Let them. It isn't their job to accept you. It is yours. And it is some of the most powerful work you will ever do. Now, sometimes I hear I don't want to accept my ADHD struggles because otherwise if I do that, I'm not going to fix, you know, some of the shit I do. I'm not going to figure out, you know, or work on changing some of these behaviors. Yeah, I want to call bullshit on that one. How is self-loathing working out for you? Is that creating a positive outcome in your life? Right? How is beating yourself up working out? Is it creating positive stuff? No, it's not. When you feel badly about yourself, you take action that creates a negative result. I wish somebody had taught me that in school, right? It wasn't until I came to coaching that I learned this. Okay, if we think I'm a terrible friend, we will continue to play that out. If we think I suck at time management, we will continue to struggle with time management. You can't be a good friend when you believe that you are a terrible friend, right? Just like you can't be better with time management when you believe you suck at it. Okay? So self-acceptance, including accepting your ADHD-related struggles, is the key to feeling better and creating positive change in your life. There is this quote I am reminded of by Byron Katie, and I think it goes, "When you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time." Okay. The reality, my friend, is that you have nothing to do, nothing to prove. You are good enough. You are worthy. And beating yourself up does not produce positive things in your life. Now, I do make impulsive decisions in my life. I do interrupt people. I do forget things all the time. I always forget why I walk into a room. I do get distracted very, very easily. How are you thinking you should be different than you are? Rather than acknowledging and accepting that is who I am, I do those things. I do get distracted. I do forget things. I do turn up late. And I accept that's a part of me. Right, let's switch gears a little bit. ADHD or not, all humans experience negative emotions and struggles. Okay, those challenges that we experience in our lives do not mean we are inadequate. When you are experiencing frustration or fear, or maybe you're feeling anxious, that does not mean you are inadequate. Another objection I often get is, okay, well, if I accept myself, then basically I'm saying I don't care about how my behavior impacts other people around me. Like when I'm late to a meeting, you know, or maybe I'm meeting my friend for lunch and I'm late and she has to wait for me. Or when I forget to text my mother-in-law for her birthday and then she thinks I don't care. That is not what I am saying. Okay. Recently, I was super frustrated and trying to figure out some behind the scenes stuff on that course I was telling you about. So I had to upload it to a platform and get it released so that you guys could access it. And I was trying to figure out all this behind the scenes technology stuff. And I was getting very, very frustrated. And I was super short and snappy with my partner. Even when he actually offered to help me, I was not very nice. Now, once I was able to see that, which wasn't at the time, okay, it was later when I was reflecting on it, but when I was able to acknowledge it and to see it, I was able to apologize. I owned it, I apologized, and I work on it. But I don't need to beat myself up for it or shame myself for my behavior. No, we don't do that anymore. Okay, we can work on things that we want to change without beating ourselves up, without shaming ourselves. Back to the story I gave you in the beginning about, you know, the two different ways we could help a kid to ride without training wheels. Beating ourselves up does not work. Okay, we don't do that anymore. Another thing I want to address is, and I've talked about this on a couple of episodes, is you decide what you make things mean, right? As humans, we are meaning-making machines. We attach meaning to everything. The sun is shining today. I have made that mean it is a beautiful day. Now, I could make it mean that I'm a terrible partner for being short and snappy. Or I could make it mean that I was just having a tough time and I released that anger that I had and that frustration that I had in a way that I'm not super proud of, and I'm actually going to work on changing. Okay, that is way kinder. I'm a human too, and these things happen, and that's okay. Right? Those are the kinds of meaning that I attach to behavior that I am still working on or, you know, wanting to change. So just be mindful of that we get to decide what we make things mean. Okay? Now, make a promise with me right here, right now. Promise me no more mean self-talk. No more of that shit. Okay. Now, this is going to be something we work on every single day. Okay. Most of us have a brain that is in the habit of being a bit of an asshole. All right. We are in the habit of talking negatively and beating ourselves up. So this is something we are going to keep remembering and keep working on. Okay. It's not just like a click your fingers done kind of a thing. Hey, if it was, I would love that. I would totally tell you how to do it, but it's not. So I want to just quickly share what this process looked like and looks like, because it is still something I continue to work with for me. So when my brain is beating me up and being really hard on myself, I will, in my head, sometimes out loud, say, nope. And I will either, if possible, I will put my hand out, like stop. Like you put your hand out as if someone was walking up to you and you'd put your hand in their face kind of thing. Nope, stop. Or I will picture a stop sign. I went through like different variations of doing this. And when I would do it in my head, like when I was walking around out and about with people, I would go no and picture a bright red stop sign with the white writing in my head. All right. Either that or the hand. I do either variation of that. And when I go no, and then I'll say, we don't do that anymore. And then I will follow up with the things that I want to hear, with the positive reinforcement. Like, hey, I'm here for you. I got you. Like, what do you need right now? I'll often ask myself some questions to help turn it around. Okay, so when that negative self-talk arrives and I hear it, I go, nope, we don't do that anymore. All right, I'm here for you. I got you. What do you need? How can I support you right now? What is the most loving thing that I can do for me right now? What does it look like to have my own back here? Okay, so I encourage you to take those questions, to write them down, and to practice that with yourself over and over and over again until it starts to become a habit. And the more you practice it, the more it does. Okay? We are done with beating ourselves up for being a human. We are done with beating ourselves up for being a human with ADHD. Okay? Remember, you cannot hate your way to happiness. You cannot starve yourself into a healthy body. You are not a horse. You are a zebra. Self-acceptance is the foundation for consistent and positive change, and the foundation for experiencing a positive life and thriving with ADHD. And lastly, if you want help applying this in your life, then come and coach with me. This is the kind of work we do together in coaching, and this work is life-changing. It changed my life. It has changed the lives of hundreds of women that I have worked with, and it will change your life too. It starts with a free consultation. You can visit my website, zenajones.com, to book. Huge love, my friend. I will talk to you soon. Hey, friend. I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.